It's time for the all-new Gervie's Law, cross-examining the ages, with your host, Alan Gervie, and introducing your co-host, Michelle Lobato. Alan is the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 40 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
This is Alan Gervie, and... guess
Michelle
what?
Lobato.
No, I was going to say it's Gervie's Law.
And Michelle Lobato.
And it's Gervie's Law.
And I'm here as well.
It's great to have you here. This wonderful Valentine's Day weekend, we have Michelle Lobato and...
and we have a very exciting guest today.
I'm not talking about that. You're supposed to say an Alan Gervie. There's love in the air. You have to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day, even though it's a day after.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Very good. Are you watching the Olympics, by the way?
I did watch the figure skating one.
You did?
That was very majestic. Yeah, very ethereal to
majestic.
Watch.
Majestic.
Yeah.
Do you know that the greatest U.S. figure skater probably and commentator for figure skating will be with us in a couple of weeks as soon as the Olympics are over?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Who is it?
Alan Rothenberg.
Oh, my goodness. Alan Rothenberg.
Wait, sorry. I totally blanked on your question.
Scott Hamilton is the greatest
Hamilton.
Greatest figure skater ever.
Don't ask
ever.
Me about sports, please.
How about coffee and matcha? Can I ask you about that?
You can ask me every single thing about that. Absolutely.
Every
expert.
Single thing.
Yes.
That's your life.
Yes.
So you are excited for our guest today, the Valentine's Day weekend special show, because we have Francois Rehani on the show, who is the founder and owner of La La Land, which is your favorite place.
Absolutely.
And I know anyone who I speak to, whenever I was talking to my investment advisor today, and he said, oh, my daughters are at La La Land. I'm like, what?
It's the place to be.
It is the place to be. And Francois has quite a story. He's about your age, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And... he's really accomplished a lot. The franchise La La Land, known for its community focus, it's a very unique business model. So it's something that we want to hear about. Francois was named Forbes 30 Under 30 list, which is pretty incredible. And they're expanding all over the place, not only in Texas and in California, but now in, I believe, Nashville location. So we are excited on Valentine's Day weekend to spread the love that Francois Rehani has been spreading since he came up with this concept of La La Land. Francois, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's amazing that you can take time out from your busy schedule to talk with us, because it sounds like you are really moving and shaking with La La Land. Tell us how you really came up with the idea and why it's been such a labor of love. And of course, I'm using love on Valentine's Day weekend.
I had a nonprofit called the We Are One Project that was helping foster kids who aged out of foster care. And we were trying to get them things like jobs, therapy, help with schooling, housing, etc. And as we were trying to do that, it was failing. And most of the time it was because we couldn't get a long-term job for our youth. And so that problem between the fact that I had already done hospitality before, I had a love for hospitality. I decided to create the place where not only we could hire and mentor these kids that are aging out of foster care, but also create a place that, you know, shared that love that we all want. With human beings. And so La La Land came about, our first store in Dallas around 7 years ago, and now we have 30 stores, thank God.
It sounds like you guys are really picking up the traction. I mean, it sounds like you started one store in 2019, and now you said you're going up to 30. What has been motivating all of this speed?
Yeah, lots of different things. We're pretty aggressive in our mission. We like to say more yellow, and by more yellow, we mean a lot of different things, but mainly, of course, not only just more yellow cups everywhere, but to us, it's about the energy and the kindness that kind of shares, right? In a world right now where everyone's just fighting and bickering over anything, politics, whatever's going on, we want to be that place that kind of mutes all that, right? Where you walk into a place and you imagine, like, why isn't all humanity like this?
Well, I want to touch on that color yellow and the creative design. I love the Beverly Hills location, and I believe you designed the interior of that. Am I correct?
Yes, along with our architect, Fernanda.
Every inch of that place is absolutely beautiful, and even what the employees are wearing, they're all wearing like the same exact shade color beanie, like a cream. They're all wearing mm-hmm. white. Tell me more about the creative process for that.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's in the name, right? When you hear La La Land, it was about kind of creating this like out-of-body experience, like a heaven. And so when you walk in, the design is very specific into trying to make you feel that way very quickly. And between the all white and the pops of yellow and the music and what it feels like in the store, I think anyone's body can't help to feel a little bit of optimism. And then the rest is up to us, right, between the service and the actual product that we deliver. But the whole experience is kind of tailored to kind of really take you somewhere.
All right. Well, I want to give you an example because I'm here listening and, you know, I'm from maybe a different generation than Michelle is. And she's just so into the design and everything else, the whole feeling that and what you're talking about, Francois. But I'm going to give you an example from football. Minnesota Vikings drafted J.J. McCarthy 2 years ago, and he came out of college out of Michigan, and he came to the team, and he was just this high-spirited kid who's jumping around, high-fiving, going crazy, just so happy and excited, going up to the veterans and hugging them and pumping his fist and doing all this stuff. And then he gets on the field this year, and he basically sucked. So the question that I have for you, and Michelle's looking at me like she has no idea what I'm talking about. There's a lot of hype, whatever it is, whether it's in football, basketball, in theater, whatever. But somehow, Francois, you're putting up where you're putting your money where your mouth is, and people love the place. Not, obviously, not only from the the design, the yellow, the decor, and everything else, the kindness, the theories, the community, but isn't there something more where you're actually delivering where J.J. McCarthy couldn't as a quarterback?
I love the sports analogy. If you start talking sports, you know, I talk with my team all the time. To me, this feels like a sport. We love to be very competitive. I think the secret sauce there in matching the hype, right, and actually delivering what people expect and what people hear is twofold. Number one, we believe in doing the right thing and magic happens. We're really big believers in karma, and so we do what we believe is right, and I think a lot of good things come back to us. But obviously that has to be followed up, and to us, we're extremely, extremely competitive, and we're very detailed. And so anything from the design of the store to the actual product and our service and our teams in our stores and what their goal is when they walk into how they make you feel. We're very competitive to ensure that we're actually best in market, right? And so you could compare it to sports and practice and actually being able to deliver. We're practicing overtime for sure.
And, of course, you have really good matcha because Michelle was talking to me yesterday and you were drinking a matcha, weren't you?
Absolutely.
And you said this sucks compared to La La Land.
Exactly. There's a lot of details that go into it. It's an art form, really. You have to make sure the whisk is right. You have to make sure the temperature is right. You can't, you know, burn it. There's a lot of research that goes into it. So did you do a lot of research going into the recipes of all of your drinks?
For sure. Right from the creation, it's actually one of my favorite parts of the job. For the Reserve Beverly Hills store specifically and our matcha program, I went to Japan about a year ago to meet with our farmers and to see what the actual experience was like and to get more in tune with it. And I think just that experience definitely elevated our matcha program.
And, you know, also what I love, it seems, so I read somewhere that you transferred out of USC, which is funny because I feel like most people transfer into that school. Why did you transfer out? And this is going to relate to specifically your location in Beverly Hills. Obviously, that place is can be a bit superficial, but it seems like you're trying to attract a more authentic, genuine crowd.
Yeah, good question on the school switch. It doesn't get brought up too much, but yes, you're 100% right. I think I was probably the only person in history to leave USC and go to SMU. It's normally the other way around.
Right.
Trying to transfer in reverse. You know, at that time, I was in a stage where I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I had grown up here for half my life at USC. I felt like I wasn't really challenging myself.
Hmm.
And my parents at that time were kind of sick of living in LA. They were used to Mexican culture. They grew up in Mexico, and they're used to neighbors who like grill together, right, and are kind to each other. And yeah. And so I was thinking about moving them to Dallas. And so I visited Dallas one day, and I just noticed so much opportunity. The city had really nothing back then but so many people. And I've always been entrepreneurial, and so in my mind, I thought I could come there and build something. And to further that along, by the way, I was a senior at USC. I don't know if you know how college credits work, but you can only transfer 2 years.
Right.
I only had one semester left, and I got up delusionally. This is why delusion works sometimes. got up and left and became a sophomore at SMU. But that decision definitely changed my life.
How did you choose SMU? I understand you went to Dallas and you liked what it had to offer, but you know, SMU is a little bit different than the USC experience.
Yeah, it was solely because it was the closest school in Dallas.
Okay.
To me, I didn't really care where I was going at that point, and the degree was honestly never really that important to me. I was in school to figure out what I wanted to do and to learn and to put myself into internships or whatever I could to figure out my life.
And when you were finding partners to invest, to be able to expand, was it important to you that they shared the same values and mission?
100%. It was actually critical. And obviously in the world of investments and finance, right, you can imagine it gets a little sharky. And so
of course.
For years, so we got very lucky. Our original investor, Dario, who's still with us, he's always been amazing, and he's always believed in what we're doing. But obviously, as you start to grow and bring on new and bigger investors, for years we were just declining almost everything that was coming to us. And the big investor that we ended up bringing on was very natural, and it actually happened because through all my three conversations I had with them that were hours and hours long, we actually never even spoke about numbers, and they were just talking about what the business meant to humanity. And so that made it very clear that they were going to be the right partner. And obviously numbers came up later, but numbers are definitely not the first thing that's on our mind. Of course, it's very important, but it's not the first thing on our mind.
How do you determine where you are opening up? You know, Michelle talks about the Beverly Hills location. She lives fairly close to that location, so she's there. I live closer to the Calabasas location, which is in the Calabasas Commons. And it's very busy, but it's not exactly where you would expect a La La Land necessarily to be, and especially since now Rick Caruso is developing it. And I know you know Rick, and you're on the board, on a board together, but how do you figure out where it's going to be? And by the way, what's Rick Caruso going to do with La La Land when he changes the Calabasas Commons, which is starting now?
The La La Land Calabasas is going to stay right where it is. It's a great part of that community. We're really proud of that store. In terms of real estate, to be honest with you, like analytics and data are one thing, but what really drives our real estate selection is just natural feel. And so I visit all of our locations, all prospect sites. I have a knack for real estate. It's actually what I thought I was going to do. So to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. It's most of it's common sense, whether it feels right and it's the right market for us.
Are you teaming up with Rick Caruso at all in the venture?
So Rick is on our board, and he's an investor in La La Land, and of course we're in four or five of his developments.
Yeah, well, that's a good investor to be with. And talk a little bit about Stripes, because, you know, we know them from investing the equity company in Viore and a lot of other big companies, but as an equity company, that's a big deal to expand your business.
Yeah, Stripes is really amazing. They're the most ideal partner we could have imagined. To me, right, it's kind of like great ammo. It's giving us the best backup ever, because now with the right intention, they're coming in and showing where our greatest strengths and the flaws are. And to me, again, being extremely competitive, that's always good news to me, because I want to know how we can get better and better. And they've been very supportive about what we're trying to do as a brand and for culture.
And how do you see the expansion with Stripes? Like, what is your goal in terms of how many cafes and how widespread the investment will take you?
Yeah, I think it's very widespread. If you ask me, I'm a delusional person. And so long-term effects of Lala are hundreds or thousands. And so I think Stripes just really ignited that as rocket fuel. And for us to be able to do this in a meaningful way, look, at the end of the day, like I mentioned before, we want to be able to shift culture, right? It's about becoming a legacy brand that stays here forever, that actually changes culture and how human beings react. And so for us, obviously, the more stores, the more people we touch, the better.
I hope it becomes the new Starbucks. You know, it's like a North Star. Whenever I'm traveling abroad, it always feels like I have a piece of home whenever I see a Starbucks store. It seems like you're breaking into the luxury culture. I see you're collaborating with the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Yes, they've been amazing, too. And that's been obviously a dream collaboration. They reached out to us. And for us, obviously, you know, the Beverly Hills Hotel created the city, basically. There's so much history there. And we're really honored to be partnered with a brand like that.
Now, Michelle talks about Starbucks. Do you ever see yourself competing, or is that something that is too mundane for La La Land?
No, it's absolutely a competition, right? And things like that are definitely motivators to me. I look at Starbucks, and I think there's room for a new player.
When we talk about this internship program, tell us a little bit about, I think it's 10 weeks that you have the foster youth learning, and then you transition them into positions. How does the program work, and how successful has it been?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, from the start, from 7 years ago when we had first started, for example, we brought on 14 youth into our first store, and it was an absolute tornado, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't know what we were doing. Hospitality is already complicated enough to deal with, and you add a whole program to the store, and it was double as hard. And so through the first couple of years, it was very hard. It was probably only working about half the time, and we were getting better and better. But really, it wasn't until just about a year or two ago that it started working really well. Danielle came in to lead the program and has done a miraculous job. As you can imagine, it's pretty intense. There's a lot that goes on in between it.
Right.
And for us, what we figured out after, you know, dozens, literally probably two dozen adaptations, was this new program that's 12 weeks. It's a completely paid internship. And through those 12 weeks, you have your store manager that's helping you week by week learn job skills. And we separated the life skills portion to their youth director, who helps them find that, you know, therapy, help with schooling, or anything that has to do with their personal life, housing, and getting their life together. That way, that two-way split really helps break it up, and that doesn't put too much on the store manager, and it gives the youth the right ability to be able to have everything they need to actually become, you know, a happy adult. And at the end of the 12 weeks, they can choose to either stay with us and become a full part-time member at one of our stores, but keep in mind, sometimes, you know, it's not someone's dream to work in hospitality, and so if they come tell us they want to work with dogs, our youth director helps them find a job in something they're passionate in.
What really started your the big heart that you have for foster youth?
Yeah, where does that come from?
Great question. Yeah, I grew up in, so my family moved to Mexico when I was basically just a few months old. So,
and just to clarify, you're Iranian, right?
Yeah, my parents are Persian. And so I grew up in Mexico. My first 12 years of life were in Mexico.
Wow. Wait a second. How do Persian parents end up in Mexico? Michelle, your family's from Mexico.
Yes, yeah.
But you're not Persian.
No.
Okay, so how did that happen?
Yeah, my dad at that time, he had a pretty big heart attack, and he had lost his business, and he wasn't able to work anymore. And they always enjoyed driving to Rosarito, Mexico, right? It's right near this California border.
Right.
And so it was kind of my parents' escape. Right. Mm-hmm. It was like their happy place, to where also they knew that they'd be able to take a step back for a little bit. And so for me, you know, growing up in Mexico for 12 years, completely different culture, but also, you know, the amount of homeless kids all over the street every day, you know, hundreds and hundreds everywhere, doing whatever they can to survive, sell candy, juggle, whatever they're doing. When you're a kid and you see that for 12 years every single day, and you know you're a 10-year-old, you're wondering what's going on, you don't really understand it. Once you get older, you start to really see how bad it is, right? And so I think that was always in the back of my head for sure. And when I first heard, you know, when I moved to America, I never assumed that this would be a problem here because you don't see it, right?
Right.
Of course.
And so I kind of forgot about it. And the first time I had heard stories of youth that were aging out of foster care, I was shocked that these three kids were saying the story, and I was assuming, like, how does this happen to even these three kids? And the more you learn about the tens of thousands of times that it happens in the country, you start to realize how bad it is, and I was very motivated to find a solution.
And it's been a labor of love ever since. But I was reading somewhere that you talk about your hobbies and your hobbies work, and that you don't do much else, you said, just so dedicated to the success of the program and of La La Land. How does that, I mean, you're a young guy, how does that impact on your social life and your ability to kind of, you know, I'm sure a lot of people want to be your friend. How have you dealt with that?
Good question. The first, we talk about this all the time, the first 3 to 4 years of La La Land, there was literally zero such thing as social life. It was seven, and I don't even know how I did it now, looking back at that time. It was 7 days a week. I took off my mom's birthday. I wouldn't even take my birthday off. And I had no life. I would just go to the office every single day and go home. And that's how the company got built, and I think that's what it took at that time to really define the detail of what the infrastructure of the company would be. And obviously, through time, now I get a little bit of social life, not too much. At the end of the day, I love what I do. I really am passionate about it. We have a joke at the office with our content creator, Cece. On a Monday, she looks a little sad, and I'm really happy because I'm just back. I'm glad to be back in the office.
That's funny.
And Monday feels like Friday. Because I'm just passionate about what we're building. You know, I'm very blessed to be able to lead something that I really, truly love. This is the dream, and I'm very mindful of that.
It's so great to hear that because so many people, especially younger people, the newer generations, don't understand that or have that feeling, and you're actually putting it into practice, and you're helping so many people. How many employees do you have now?
Thank you. Yeah, we have over 1,000 employees now, which is crazy to think about.
Wow. That's really something.
And I think our listeners are dying to know, do you have a Valentine this season?
We'll leave that a mystery.
That's funny. Michelle, that's great.
No, that's really commendable that you sacrificed your early 20s. You know, I often battle between, oh, well, I'm young. You know, is this the time to work hard or is this the time to enjoy life? You know, it might be hard to enjoy life when you're older and have, you know, your body isn't keeping up with you as much. But awesome to see that sometimes if you do put in the work, it pays off.
So my daughter is just turning 12 this week, actually. Happy birthday, Harper. And her friends, you know, they go to La La Land, they hang out at the Calabasas Commons. What would you suggest for her? Like, what is the best thing for her to get? She's 12. You know, I know a lot of your patrons are a lot older than that, but what do you suggest for her and her friends in terms of what they should get when they're at La La Land?
Yeah, so we actually recently launched a kids menu that's named after my niece Charlotte, and she helped create some of that menu. And so the hazelnut toast is like a huge kid favorite, along with like the strawberry cooler.
And oh, I know she'll love the strawberry
cooler.
Isn't
there a Charlotte's location named after her?
Yes, our Brentwood store was named after her. She goes to school in Brentwood, and so that store is kind of named and modeled after her.
Wow, that's so a lot different upbringing than you growing up in Mexico, but that's very sweet.
Very different, yeah. Trust me, I remind her every time I see her that her life is very different than mine was.
I'm glad you do that. How old is she, by the way?
5.
Oh, she's 5. Wow. She's going to really love it as she gets a little bit older and into the teen years, just like my daughter is loving. And I think so many people really appreciate not only La La Land, but the message behind it, the human connection, which you're really focusing on. And I'm glad we had the time today because you've really been able to explain what's behind La La Land. A lot of people go and say, oh, I love this. I love the colors. I love the food. I love the drinks. But the message is probably more important than how great La La Land really is.
I appreciate it. And look, we try our best, right? I don't think that we should glorify what we do. We do it because we want to. The program hasn't always been perfect. We try our hardest to make it work. And Luckily, we get some good karma, but I appreciate the kind words.
In our last minute, tell us what's ahead for La La Land.
Lots more stores, lots more yellow.
Lots more yellow. Well, that's wonderful. This weekend, it's a little bit about the red for Valentine's Day, but the yellow and red mesh together because of the message, the love and the connection. Francois Rehani, thank you so much for being with us. I've had about 350 interviews in the last 10 years, and I've been sitting, listening, hanging on every one of your words because I think it's really motivational, not only because of what you've created, but just where your whole head is at with your perspective. So thanks for being with us here on Gervie's Law today.
Appreciate you guys. Love you guys so much. Have a great day. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks. All right, that's going to do it for the Love Fest here on Gervie's Law. We'll see you next week with Alan Rothenberg, the Olympic soccer guru. Don't miss it.